My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on your radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. You can always stay up to date with everything happening at 92.9 FM ESPN. You can stream live anywhere, anytime on the Odyssey app. It's free to download, free to listen. You can even go back, rewind if you missed a segment. You can go back and hear that. And hear all content on demand right there on the Odyssey app. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. It's a Friday, so that means my company is, of course, the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast. Also, VSiN's College Football Betting Tailgate Show, Saturdays, 9 a.m. Central Time. I caught in for all of last Saturday's episode. Great time. Gets you prepared for the full slate of games we have coming up. All the latest information, the late sharp plays, what the syndicates are doing. He's also the host of VSiN Primetime, airing on weeknights at VSiN on Twitter, on X, at 1TimMurray. Tim, good day, sir.
Ooh, man, it is a good day. It's a good week. It is one of the best weeks of the entire sports calendar. Not to get full on sports talky, even though this is a sports talk show.
Yes,
but it is. It's an awesome time, man.
Surprise!
The baseball playoffs have been very good. The NBA is right around the corner. Obviously, something exciting for
Grizzlies. Had another preseason game and an injury, so Grizzlies fans feel like they're right there in preseason form.
Yeah, that is also true. Loaded up college card, big time NFL games. It's that time of year, man. So I'm fired up. Fired up for this Saturday. Fired up for this Sunday. And to be honest, man, I'm fired up for tonight. Padres Dodgers Game 5. That's gonna be those two teams. Hate each other, and that's gonna be a fun one.
I'm with you. I know you and I have talked about it. I'm very excited that this game's on Friday, because as much as I've loved this series, I do know if it played tomorrow or if it played on Sunday, the game would get swallowed up for me by football.
Oh, 100%. And I think I said it last night on the show. You know, look, Tigers Guardians Game 5 Saturday night, cool. You know what's on Saturday night? LSU and Ole Miss. You know what's on Saturday night? Oregon State and Ohio State. You know what's on Saturday night? Iowa State, West Virginia. Not watching. Just not doing it.
Did you see what just happened? For exact same reasons that you're talking about. They moved the game up to noon.
Okay. Well, that makes a little more sense.
And that noon window's not great.
That is that's smart. Okay,
baseball's smart. Quietly not done as many dumb things the last 18 months.
It's shocking considering their commissioner doesn't like the sporty commissions, but yes. That is smart. Good job by baseball, cuz going up against Oregon, Ohio State and Ole Miss, LSU, good luck. It ain't going to be watched. So that's a tip of the cap. Smart decision. You know what's also smart is having the WNBA finals on in the middle of an NFL Sunday.
Starting it in the middle of an NFL Thursday night game.
Maybe this is more of a summer discussion because we got so much to get to. And I'm not saying that the WNBA is some have to watch it. I actually caught moments of the game last night, Liberty Lynx. It was actually really entertaining. Went to overtime, had some big shots made. What are you doing? Like, who cares if you have 3 days off? Put it on Tuesday or Wednesday.
The NBA certainly doesn't care. We get I feel like there's been years where there's like 11 days between the conference finals and the finals.
Yeah. Like they felt like the need to rush. Like the Lynx wrapped up their, I don't know if they call them conference finals. I think it's just overall seeded, whatever. They wrapped up on Tuesday and they played on Thursday. Like, what's the rush?
The only thing that I could think of is there a time crunch for them
to go overseas?
Correct. And also, maybe. Aren't they behind because they took a month off for the Olympics?
Maybe. I have no idea.
Because I don't remember the WNBA finals normally being this late.
I don't remember. And I should, because the two-time WNBA champs are in my town.
Mark covered them.
The Aces?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Mark covered the Mystics.
Oh, yeah. We tried, when I lived in D.C., we had a stretch where Caps won in 18, Nats won in 19, and I think the Mystics won in 19. They're like, we're title town. I'm like, yeah, no one really cares about the Mystics.
Now, I mean, I say this, I look it up. Last year, the finals were played between the 8th and the 18th.
Obviously, we were very locked in.
Yeah, I still, though, to your larger point, I think the WNBA has a real leadership problem.
Dude, if it was on Tuesday, I would watch it.
I'm with you. It put it in that spot where, like, okay, if you want, go up head-to-head with baseball. Like, sure. That's fine.
You can have a dual screen, but the thing is, you're putting it, like, so at Circa, right, where my studio is in Vegas, it's got, I don't know, the capabilities of putting up 19 games at once.
Yeah.
So, look, last night was the WNBA game on the main screen. No, but it was on. I don't know if the game's going to be on. Actually, I'm almost confident it won't be on Sunday.
Yeah, that seems likely. All right, you're right. Let's get into it. Let's talk about quickly what we got coming up on the program. We'll get into, of course, the massive weekend. Also, Blake Topmeyer going to join us at 2:35 like he does each and every Friday. Get his thoughts on the big weekend. We'll get into the list at 3:05. We have had the AAC preseason awards. We'll tell you where the Tigers finished in the preseason predictions. Also, ABC going to start airing more Monday night games. I want to discuss that. We'll get into our cards, games of the weekend. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But let's start here first, Tim, because we'll get to the Memphis-USF game. I got a couple of questions for you. Before we do that, I was wondering this. This is the weekend that we spent a large portion of the summer, like when we realized, I think this was when we had the fall wedding summer content that we do like annually. I think it stemmed from the fact that people were saying, if you have a wedding on October the 12th, everyone should be allowed to skip it. And then, of course, you know, that always ends up divulging into the conversation that it becomes. But I was thinking about it in these terms. We're obviously fired up for these games. But do you think kind of the way the chaotic nature of last week and the unbelievable moments and the unbelievable games that we saw, I feel like it kind of took a little wind out of the sails of the hype for this week. Doesn't mean that it's still not going to be an awesome week, but I kind of was expecting it to be a little bit more hyped up than it has been.
I agree. All right, let's run through the big games. Oregon, Ohio State, number 2 versus number 3. This was a game that preseason I had as my game of the year. This was the game I was looking forward to the most of watching. I think there's a little bit, and neither team has lost.
Yep.
Oregon just hasn't really played to their potential. Could they? Sure. And would I lean Oregon plus the points? Yeah, I would. I took a little nibble at 3.5. But it does feel like, I don't know why, it feels like this game has lost a little bit of hype, but I'm still fired up for that. The other games, USC lost last weekend, so they now have two losses as they play Penn State. So that game had the billing a week ago of a top 15, maybe a top 10 showdown, and USC now is not ranked because they lost to Missouri.
Minnesota.
Missouri did their own damn thing. Yes. Thank you to the good people of Texas A&M. Texas, Oklahoma, Red River. It's a 14-point spread.
Yeah.
Like, Oklahoma has no wide receivers. They might call you to play, to run some routes out there.
I would not recommend that.
Top five receivers are out. Now, it's a rivalry game. And, you know, as they like to say, you got to throw out those records for the
rivalry. You know, anything can happen in Red River.
And it's true. We've seen it. Now, hopefully it's not a duplication of 2 years ago when Texas won 49-0.
I'd take it.
I'm sensing a little bet there.
Uh-huh.
And then Ole Miss, LSU. It's still a top 15 showdown. It's nighttime at Death Valley. But LSU has kind of looked clunky.
Yeah.
Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. Offense wasn't amazing last week, but the defense had looked better. So, yeah, I hear you. I'm not trying to poo-poo it.
No, I'm not either. It just feels like it felt like coming into, like, this was the weekend we'd all circled. And it.
Now, I'll say this, because I am captain of the, we only get so many of these. And we said it last week on the show. Don't sleep on week six. It could be crazy. Yep. I opened up my show on Saturday with that same exact thing, and chaos ensued. Iowa State at West Virginia, going to be fun. 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central at West Virginia. Kansas State at Colorado, late night game, going to be fun. Arizona BYU, I think, going to be fun. So I do think there are some off-the-radar games that have been enhanced by this year, but I think your overall point is accurate where the headliners feel like they weren't as... And I bet you it's probably because of this. You hype something up so much that when you ultimately get there, you're like, eh, wasn't really that good. It's like, you know, I remember...
Life is about expectations, baby.
What was it? I think it was Spider-Man 3.
That was the summer of 07, and it was like all the horrible sequels.
I was so fired up. Like, Spider-Man 2 ended so positively.
It broke me.
And I was like, yeah, Spider-Man 3, I'm jacked up. And I went, I was like, this movie kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not the case this week. I feel like last week was such a surprise. Like, ooh, surprise, Alabama just lost. USC's about to lose. Like, holy crap, what's happening? This is awesome. Chaos is everywhere. And now this week you're like, maybe these games aren't as good. So hopefully we're wrong. I still think the night slate is very good. To your point, the early window, you know, Alabama, should they bounce back against South Carolina? I would think so.
I think the antidote for your pass defense is Lenore Sellers.
Yeah, not the strongest passer.
I give Lane Kiffin credit on Monday because there was some Ole Miss beat writers that were really trying to plug that the secondary's been better. And he's like, yeah, they played better. Their quarterback helped us too.
Also in the new window, or 11 a.m. window, the train wreck that is UAB faces the juggernaut that is Army. Two forces colliding. 5-0 ATS and straight up Army versus how terrible is UAB going ahead?
The unstoppable force versus the immovable object.
Up at Mikey Stadium on the banks of the Hudson River.
Valley. Yeah. The Hudson River Valley. Okay, so also tomorrow at 2:30. Originally, it was supposed to be tonight. I was thinking about it in these terms.
Are we definitely playing this game?
So they're moving. They've moved it to Orlando. I think the play clock's been chopped. They're playing it tomorrow, 2:30. The equipment truck's already left. Like they're gonna play this.
Okay, good.
Okay, so it was going to be a Friday night road game. I quietly think the moving of the game to sleepy Camping World Stadium, where there will be 70,000 empty seats disguised as fans.
Are they going to do the COVID thing?
I mean, I swear to God, I think if we did that, do you ever find yourself like from time to time when they'll like show highlights of the COVID season? Like I get cringy. I'm like, no. I think this is a good thing for Memphis. Two reasons. Number one, dogs are barking on Friday nights.
Yes, they are. 13-5 ATS are dogs on Friday nights.
And if you take out opening weekend, because you know everyone plays on a different date, 10-3 since. So I think, not that that actually really matters in a game. I think that's probably just a hilarious coincidence. But at the same time, I also have something on my card tonight because dogs are barking. But
me too.
I think moving it to a place where you're not really like, I know USF has been in Orlando practicing this week, but like I think that kind of eliminates home field advantage. I just think overall, I think it's a better spot for Memphis.
Look, and I've you know, a couple sharp guys that I've talked to this week, they were going to have Memphis as the best bet if the game went off without weather on Friday. I think a lot of people like this spot. There's questions about Byron Brown and his health. I believe the latest was he's day-to-day. So, I mean, aren't we all day-to-day in life?
I most certainly am.
So, I don't like laying chalk. I can't get there with USF here. I think USF is a little bit... would you think it's fair to say that USF is living a bit, and I've been guilty of it, living off of the, hey, they were winning in the fourth quarter against Alabama.
Yeah, they have largely lived off of a statement loss against Alabama.
I mean, their last two games, they got absolutely obliterated by Miami in a spot that people I respected bet USF, and then Tulane just destroyed them. By the way, Tulane, I mean, it is a bigger picture question about the AAC, and I don't know how we figure it out. Like, can we go college basketball style where, like, can we just leave the final week open so that we can, like, swap in a better game? How in the world, outside of America, how in the world did Army get the schedule that they got in year one of this conference?
I think it was to recruit them into the league. Because
I mean, their schedule is an abomination. Because no Memphis, no South Florida, no Tulane, and Navy's never going to be a conference game, and Navy's better than we anticipated. But like, if Army doesn't make the AAC championship, something went wrong.
Well, you would know this, but for the audience that doesn't know, Army has gotten the better of Navy for the last, what would you say, 5 years plus?
There was 1 year in there where the Navy upset them. So I'll give you, just off the top of my head, 2016, Army ended the 13-game losing streak to Navy. They won three in a row. Why do I remember that? Because I was on the broadcast team for all three of those years, so I never beat Army. Then in 2019, Navy killed them. 2020, Army won. I think there was a Navy upset in there. So I
would say, I want to say like maybe
4 of the last
there.
5, I would say Army's gotten the best of them, if that sounds right.
Yeah.
Last year, they got the goal line stand, I believe it was.
But they've had the better program, I would say, at least the last 5-plus years.
Yeah, I would say consistently, yeah.
That's but fair. A large part of the reason, at least Navy people fell behind, they believed that Army getting to make their own schedule, them not having to be in a conference, they thought that that was Army's advantage. And they and I think this was one of the, because I'm not convinced that, I think Army had to be convinced to come in. And so I think maybe, I don't know if there'll ever be a paper trail of it, but you could tell me that part of the idea is we'll give you a soft opening.
Ooh, I like conspiracy theories. Yeah, no Memphis, no South Florida, no Tulane.
And UTSA's been a disappointment.
And UTSA, yeah, I mean, and they get UTSA at home. Like, if once again, if Army is not playing in or even at this point hosting the AAC championship, well, Tulane doesn't have a loss yet. And hopefully Memphis will hand them a loss.
Well, Memphis has to hope that Tulane beats Navy and that they beat Tulane, and then you get into this three-way tie.
Yes.
Because I think in a three-way tie, I need to look up all of it. I think at that point, if you're Memphis and you're 11-1, they would both at least be, I think Navy would be at least 10-2, presuming that they lose to, at least to Notre Dame. Then you would have Tulane being 9-3. I think that 11-1 helps you out there.
You know, and it's you know, so I remember back in the preseason talking about Memphis and the prospects of them making the college football playoff, which is still possible if they run the table and, you know, Boise State gets knocked off at some point.
Yeah, you need some help, but it's not
impossible.
Yes, 100%.
It's possible.
It's still there.
Especially if you're a Memphis fan, you want Army to go 12-0 or 11-0 because their Army Navy game is December 14th, because then they're ranked and then you're going up to Mikey Stadium in early December and you're looking to knock off an undefeated Army team, and that undefeated Army team would have a win over Notre Dame.
Yeah.
At Yankee Stadium. So right now, you know, outside of, you know, for the troops, you're cheering for Army. You're a big Army fan. Moving forward, you want Army to blow everybody out and be 11-0, because I think that helps you if you were to have that showdown in early December. You know, but for Memphis, what I was going to say is why I didn't pick them to represent the group of five in the playoff was I thought this schedule was really daunting from a road standpoint, at Florida State, at Navy, at South Florida, at UTSA, and at Tulane. Well, you are no longer playing South Florida at South Florida on a Friday night. You're now playing on a Saturday afternoon in Orlando. UTSA, as you mentioned, isn't as strong as we expected, and that Memphis should be a pretty comfortable favorite in that spot. And Tulane's going to be hard. That there's no doubt. That Tulane game on Thanksgiving is going to be really hard.
Yeah, but that's also another opportunity, you know. I mean, we talk about it. Style points are going to matter. It's an opportunity if you can get there.
Once again, I think you're massive Tulane fans, and look at Tulane's schedule moving forward. Rice, North Texas, Charlotte, Temple, then they play Navy. If Tulane goes to Annapolis and beats Navy, they will be a favorite to do so. Then you're looking at a 9-2 Tulane team with two losses to Kansas State and Oklahoma at home on Thanksgiving night, which, by the way, is going to be, let me double check, because the Egg Bowl got moved this year.
Friday, right? It's Black Friday now.
Oh yeah. So
It's in the traditional Iowa Nebraska slot.
Yes.
Let's be real, the Colorado Nebraska spot, but now it was occupied by Iowa and Nebraska. But it's that one.
Memphis Tulane is in a primo spot on Thanksgiving night, going head to head or duel with an NFL game. There's no other college game. I mean, that's a huge opportunity for a statement. So I would definitely not count out Memphis whatsoever to be in the discussion. The Navy loss hurts, but Navy, by no stretch of the imagination, is a bad loss right now, because Navy, I think at worst, is going to be 8-3 going into the Army-Navy game. They play Notre Dame. They play Tulane. No, 9-2, I would say, is the worst that they would be.
Yeah, because you're right. I'm just so thrown off by the fact that that game,
it's after the championship.
Yeah, I'm so thrown off by that. Okay, so a couple other big things. I think the questions that we'll have this weekend, I think the question is, are we going to see more of these big time upsets? I mean, it wasn't just that we saw, you know, highly ranked teams losing to unranked teams. I mean, we were seeing teams that were double digit favorites. I mean, I don't remember what Bama went off as. Was it 23.5?
22, 23, somewhere in that ballpark. I'll get it for you exactly.
And that is probably that's going to be the second biggest upset of the year.
Notre Dame was 28 against Northern Illinois.
And then Tennessee was at least a 13-point favorite.
So Vanderbilt closed 23.5
okay.
point underdog. Tennessee closed 14-point favorite. So yeah, we had, I mean, Cal ended up not winning, but that was
right.
A 10.5 point spread in which they were up 35-10. Minnesota, I believe, went off north of a touchdown against USC.
I know when you were talking about it on the show, it was 8. I don't know what it closed at.
Closed, there was even a 9 out there. So
I should say, when you were talking about it on your Saturday tailgate,
it was 8.5.
Yeah.
It was 8.5. So you saw a little bit of USC money hit the market. So, yeah, to your point, I mean, looking back to last week, you know, running through it, obviously the biggest upset. I got asked today on a radio hit. Granted, it was from our neighbors up north, and we appreciate you showing any interest in college football. But he asked me if that was like a top five biggest upset of all time. And I was like, I mean, it was a big upset, but I don't know if I'd go top five all time. I mean, Appalachian State beating Michigan.
The first one that always comes, I mean, I know that one. That one's famous. I just, and maybe it's because I was, it was my freshman year and I was living in L.A. The Stanford-USC one.
It was like
because
a 40-point spread.
It was like, I think it was 42 or something like that. And then you get the post-game with Harbaugh and Pete Carroll, like, what's your deal, man? Like, that's the one that always comes to mind.
So Miami closed 10 last week. They won, obviously, very fortunately. By the way, did we talk about maybe on Tuesday, conspiracy theory, ACC?
So about the call?
Two straight weeks, they've got the fortunate whistle.
So we haven't. I guess this would be my take, and you tell me if you disagree. We talked about the Virginia Tech ending last week, in which we both agree.
It was the right.
We think
result.
The right call was made. We don't really know the mechanics of how you got there. Like, if you're going to do the no video, or it has to have undisputable video evidence, like, that didn't seem to be proven to me. I look at it in this way. I understand if you're a Cal fan, if you're mad.
Don't we've got a 25-point lead.
We've jumped the shark on targeting so much so. I didn't feel like that was a dirty play. I guess by, like, letter of the law, technically leading with the helmet, that's targeting, but it's like he kind of led with his shoulder. I like that kind of this year, doesn't it feel like the targeting is getting a little bit brought back a little bit?
I do like the fact that targeting, which for a long time was just ridiculous, and there have been games where a targeting call that is not targeting has
decided the outcome.
Derailed things.
Yes.
I thought it was targeting. He smoked him. I'm pro not targeting more often than not, but it did feel just a little like, really? That's not targeting? And that would have ended the game. But if you're Cal, too, like, come on.
It's 35-10.
You're 35-10, man. You can't. So can I ask you this real quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
To get into the weeds of this weekend's college football card, how the hell does Cal cover against Pittsburgh? Like, this line is like,
it's on the card, baby.
You know, I like the old stink theory, right? And I'm like, embrace the stink. And I know SVP and I don't know SVP, I'm not pretending to. But he bets very similarly to me, or I bet similarly to him, however you want to put it. And he gave out Cal last night on his show, and I'm like, yeah, they're probably the stinky side. I don't know how Cal, losing in that fashion, traveling to Pittsburgh, where it will be a very quiet atmosphere. Maybe they're used to that. And a Pittsburgh team that is 5-0 against the spread right now.
Well, and Narduzzi, when it's, I looked it up, I think he's, when it's under a touch, he's favored by a touchdown or fewer. I think it's 23-10.
Look, the Nard dog will mess this whole thing up because he does that. I mean, he's the same guy who was complaining about his offensive coordinator after they won the ACC and had Kenny Pickett and Jordan Addison.
Yeah, but I kind of love that about him.
Oh, I can't stand the dude.
He's like a quote machine.
He's
quintessential football coach.
I mean, he is. Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example. They played Notre Dame in like 2015 or something like that, and Notre Dame had Will Fuller. And he was like, man to man. We're going to go man to man.
Good move.
And Will Fuller went for like 190 yards and four touchdowns. I was like, okay, buddy. Good luck on that.
So he had an Ashton Janti half.
Yeah. But I'm like spooked that number is so low.
I just think it's, I think we're still in the situation where, you know, as they always tell us, they have ratings. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. But
the sharp guys will move it, and they have not. That's what spooks me here.
Are we sure they want to touch that game?
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe not. But, that game was an interesting one, needless to say.
I mean, that one stinks. Iowa stinks. And I can tell you, I'm taking both.
I'm on Iowa. Yeah, I like Iowa a lot. Iowa on the money line against Washington. That's a classic letdown spot. But, I mean, I'll say this. You know, think about the night slate. You've got the Oregon-Ohio State game at Oregon. I know you think the Autzen atmosphere is overrated. You've got Death Valley.
Not overrated.
At night against Ole Miss.
It's they get a cheating. It's cheating how they get to be an amazing atmosphere because they just it's been like accepted. They just get night games all the time. It is not overrated, though. It's an unbelievable atmosphere.
The boys in Morgantown are going to be lit.
That number stinks.
Yeah, I'm on West Virginia.
I'm not touching it. That stinks. Because also, Iowa State's kind of been in the... they may not get a lot of respect. I know that they have some turnover luck and they've been scoring off turnovers, but that line reeks.
How about, you know what I love about this game? How about this for a troll? Do you know who's getting inducted into the West Virginia Hall of Fame on Saturday night? Anthony Becht, the father of Rocco Becht, the quarterback of Iowa State.
Is he still doing games for ESPN?
I think he's doing Jets games.
We've had him on the station. He is an all-time good dude.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard he's really cool.
Yeah, he was a great dude.
His son's a good quarterback. Two good quarterbacks in that game. Garrett Green can run, man. My worry about that game is, well, the sharpest shop in the world, Circa, just went to 3.5, so that makes me very nervous because I took a bad number. And Iowa State has got dudes at wide receiver. And West Virginia, let's just say, doesn't have dudes at corner. So that could be a tricky spot, but that atmosphere... Saturday night, once again, good job, baseball, because there was no chance in hell I'd be watching baseball with these games. And then Colorado. I mean, Colorado is
a spot. They're still in it for the Big 12.
And the playoff.
If you're in it for the Big 12, you're in it for the playoff. Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. This is a team that, you know, sharp guys at this point are like, I'm tired of betting against this team, you know?
Well, and... Kansas State at home is very different than Kansas State on the road.
Yes, they are.
Now, the one thing that gives me concern, are we sure Colorado can stop the run?
No. That's why my best bet in this game was Avery Johnson over rushing yards. I think you've got a young quarterback who's got good legs, and he's going to want to run. And KJ Jefferson.
By the way, they should run him.
Yeah. I should. I mean, he's not a great passer.
At all.
And when he went to Provo, he ran for like 74 yards against BYU in that weird weird game. All right. Are we being bad radio hosts? So we haven't even talked to Oregon, Ohio State.
Well, we're obviously going to discuss it. But, I mean, to me, I think that's kind of the big question. We'll discuss this one before we get to Blake Topmeyer. Are we going to see a new number one? Does the winner of this elevate it to number one? Because right now,
they should.
I mean, I guess if Texas does the 49-0 again, or you know, if Texas blows them out, do they really deserve to be knocked? Because they've been a pretty consistent football team.
If Texas wins 14-0, and Ohio State goes to Autzen and wins, I think by 14, I think Ohio State should jump them, because I think you should base things off of your best win. And your best win for Ohio State or even Oregon would be against Ohio State or Oregon. And the best win for Texas, it's not their fault that Michigan can't throw a forward pass, but their best win is Michigan. And they dominated them, and they deserve to be the number one team, I believe, in the country. And once again, you're splitting hairs. It doesn't really matter. But it will matter. It will matter at the end of the day who gets the number one seed. But we got a long ways to go before that. But to answer your question, I think the winner of this game in Autzen on Saturday night should be the number one team in the country. And by the way, the Oregon victory over Boise State looks a little better now, doesn't it?
I mean, a lot of wins are not aging. That win continues to age.
Yeah. I mean, they're 17th in the country, and they're pulverizing people. And Ashton Gentes rushed for over 1,000 yards. And he had some big plays in that one. And I know they had a punt return and a kick return, Oregon did in that
yes.
game. But Oregon also had some terrible fumbles. Like Herbert.
Maybe that's what they are, though.
Maybe.
Because in the end, I know it is the SpongeBob SquarePants play of the week. I know it. But I've told you this because you and I have been doing this for a while now. Ohio State is the one team that I will let the number psych me out one way or the other. The last 2 years, I have announced whatever the number is against Michigan, I'm laying it with Michigan. I don't care. I'm doing it. Last 3 years, I beg your pardon. The first 2 years, the number came out and I was like, oh, well, they're begging you to take Michigan, so I'm taking Ohio State. I've flip-flopped on Ohio State all the time. I think they're the most complete team that I've seen so far, and I get it, they haven't been tested. I don't know how Oregon is going to block Ohio State, and I think Ohio State has a much better chance of blocking Oregon, and I think while Oregon's got some great guys on the outside, some great skill guys, they do not have the receivers that Ohio State does. And while I'd probably rather have Dillon Gabriel than Will Howard, Will Howard's been completely fine. They haven't ran him yet. You really don't think Chip's going to have a few things up his sleeve on this one?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to the quarterback for me.
And also, Dillon has been kind of loose with the football.
Oregon has not been ultra impressive.
What if they've just been vanilla? And I'm open to that idea. But what has concerned me is not play calling scheme. What has concerned me is I don't think they block very well.
They don't. I think they're a little better than what we have seen. I do think, thinking back on the Boise State game, I think they believed they could go in there vanilla and beat Boise State, and it was a lot harder. And now Boise State, as we talked about on Tuesday, could, if chaos ensues in the Big 12, could earn the bye. It's not crazy.
100%.
The way that they're playing right now. So that win, as we just alluded to, is continuing to look better. Look, I was very high on Oregon preseason. Maybe it was just like trying to be slightly contrarian to Ohio State's love. But the fact is, Ohio State, in the eyes of many pro bettors and odds makers, is the most talented team in the country and is the most highest power rated team in the country. You know, splitting hairs, Texas, Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon's not there. Oregon's probably been slightly downgraded this year in some people's eyes. So that's why I think we saw the number get out to like 4.5, but we've seen the buyback come in on Oregon, and now 3 probably is the accurate number for this game. First time since October of 2018 that Oregon's been in home underdog.
Landing also 0-3 as an underdog, by the way. It's not really the spot that you want him in. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk some of the big SEC games and more of these games with Blake Topmeyer of USA Today Sports. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Blake Topmeyer is the senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. His podcast is SEC Football Unfiltered. Join him and John Adams each and every week wherever you get your podcasts. He's also on Twitter on X at B Topmeyer. Blake, have you ever seen someone have so much goodwill and spend it all in a week, quite like Kalen DeBoer did with his Alabama fan base?
Boy, that could be an all-timer. Truly,
I couldn't think of one. Tim's on the line too. I could not think of one like that quick. I mean, I've seen guys spin goodwill in a short process, but I haven't seen it in back to back weeks.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, like Ed Orgeron went from the penthouse to the outhouse in warp speed, but not this quick.
Yeah,
right. You know, I mean, just one week over the next, and it was who they beat too. You know, to go from beating Georgia, the team that was supposed to, you know, take over the throne from Nick Saban to the extent that they hadn't already. Kirby on top of the sport. Yeah, Michigan won last year, but Jim Harbaugh goes to the NFL. So it's like Kirby grabs the baton again. To go from beating that to losing to Vanderbilt, I mean, just stunning, truly stunning. And we can add all the caveats we want about how Vanderbilt's a little bit better this year and they got some good transfers and all that. And yet, nonetheless, it really doesn't change the fact that this was, you know, one of the more shocking collapses week over week that I can ever recall.
So how does Vanderbilt respond to this? I know Clark Lee and this, you know, squad has thrived in this underdog role, double-digit underdog to Virginia Tech. They went outright. They go out to Missouri, 3 touchdown dogs. They're still an underdog this week, but now everyone's been talking about him. And, you know, Clark Lee's making the rounds. Diego Pavia's getting surprise visits on College Football Live by Johnny Manziel. And Kentucky was just sitting there waiting in the wings on a bye week saying, great, we get extra time to prepare for this. My worry is, Blake, that this Vanderbilt team and the system that they run is kind of like a service academy where it's hard to blow them out. But how does Vanderbilt, after seeing goalposts walk down Broadway in Nashville, how in God's name do they turn around and play Kentucky on Saturday night?
Yeah, it does feel like the ultimate test of do you know how to handle success or not. I mean,
they were 0-60 against top 5 teams in school history.
Yeah, I mean, and really nobody on this program has been in this position before. I mean, maybe with the exception of Diego Pavia, actually, because he was on the New Mexico State team last year that went into the onto the plains and upset Auburn. So, I mean, he would be the one, and yet still, you know, that was an average Auburn team, and so the fanfare and the spotlight was nowhere near what it is this week. And so, yeah, I mean, it does seem to be a matchup that kind of tilts to Kentucky's favor for a number of reasons. I mean, I think, you know, Mark Stoops is really good at game, you know, building defensive game plans for this type of scenario, especially with the extra time. You know, it feels like Kentucky's going to come out with a pretty good plan. But you're right about this offense. I mean, like for years, the popular take whenever Vanderbilt would fire a coach would be go out and hire a service academy coach and run the triple option. And this isn't, you know, the service academy style triple option, but it does have, you know, a lot of option elements in it, and Alabama looked like they'd never seen an option play in their life last week, and were helpless to defend it. So, like, yeah, I mean, it's like Vanderbilt's finally done the thing that, you know, most of us so-called experts were saying they should be doing for years of do something different. Don't try to run what everybody else is running in the SEC and do it with inferior talent. No, do something a little bit different that's hard to prepare for offensively. And I think we're seeing some success with that. And they got the perfect quarterback, too. I mean, this is just case in point of if you got a decent quarterback, you've got a chance to pull off a couple upsets in a season. You got a chance to be relevant. I mean, we're seeing that all throughout college football. If you got a quarterback, you got a prayer. If you don't have a quarterback, your team stinks. I mean, you know, one player is not going to guarantee you success, but if you don't have that one player, you're pretty much going to be guaranteed that you're not going to be relevant. I mean, you can go down the line from Florida State to Auburn to Michigan. You know, now they're already frittering away whatever chance they had at the playoffs because they don't have a quarterback. They don't have someone that can complete the forward pass, whereas Vanderbilt, hey, they do.
I wanted to discuss Tennessee-Florida with you because this question got asked to me this morning, and I know now with the divisions going away, it kind of changes of what are important games or whatnot, but where does this game rank to the Tennessee fan base? Because while it's not clearly going to be, I don't know if maybe it's even as important as next week, I've always felt because Tennessee kind of has the Florida heebie-jeebies in the same way Kentucky has the Tennessee heebie-jeebies, like I still think this is an important game for them.
I think it's a huge game for them, especially, you know, after they got humbled last week. And I know Josh Heupel's been really, really good at Neyland Stadium, but still, I mean, this is just the opponent they've been snake-bitten against for decades now. And I know it's not the same players, and I don't know how much that affects players, the fact that some team lost 10 years ago. But it's got to be in the back of the mind of Tennessee fans. And if it wasn't before last week, you know it is now, after that eye-opening loss at Arkansas. So, yeah, it's, in terms of the rivalry, it does feel like a little bit of a generational thing. Like, if you're a millennial, if you're our age, you know, say 40, late 30s, in that demographic,
yeah.
I think this feels like a really big game to you because you grew up on this rivalry in the 90s, in its heyday. And if you're a fan of an older generation, I think you look more at the Alabama game. But if you're a younger fan, up until 2 years ago, all you've ever known against Alabama is losing, which is pretty much all you'd ever known in the Florida series. But Tennessee does have a couple mixed in there. I think they're like 2-17 in their last 19, one of which came a couple years ago. But, you know, it had just been so monotonous in the Bama rivalry that really I think until the last couple of years that one had lost a little bit of its luster, and you were even hearing some old-timey Vols fans be like, did he really have to play Alabama every year? And so I think for the majority of Tennessee fans, this one probably ranks in like that number two or number three rivalry range, but I certainly think for like the millennial age bracket, it's no worse than number two on the list. And I think for some people in their 30s and 40s, Florida still registers as the number one rival because of, you know, those clashes between Philip Fulmer and Steve Spurrier.
From a situational standpoint, you got to like LSU at home, night game, off a bye. But I can't get there, Blake, on this one. And I want to, but I just haven't gotten there on LSU. And I texted a buddy of mine who's a radio host in Baton Rouge because I was curious to get his thought. And I was like, am I missing something here? And he said the defense for Ole Miss is just way more talented than LSU. And we've seen Ole Miss was not impressive, obviously, losing to Kentucky. South Carolina, they win the game with really more of a defensive effort. But I've got a lot of questions about this LSU team. I want to get there because how often are you going to get to take points with LSU at home at night? But I can't get there. Am I missing something on this one?
What's the latest? I was traveling today. What's the latest on Trey Harris? Is he still questionable? Have the scales?
So you can't read Lane's injury report.
Yeah, I know. I have the feeling that Trey Harris is not playing. You got any insight on that?
I think he's going to play. I also think he has pre-Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. I think he's going to play. I don't know how long he plays.
Right. Yeah, and that to me kind of influences this because if he can't go or does go but is not the Trey Harris we've come to expect, I mean, that is a huge dent in the Ole Miss offense. And to the point about Ole Miss's defense being a lot better than LSU's, like, based on everything we've seen, that's true. And I think that is true. And Ole Miss obviously spent a lot of money and upgrading that side of the ball. But I still want to see what Ole Miss's defense does against a really good offense, because we haven't seen them against a really good offense yet this year. I mean, South Carolina was making their hay with their defensive front. Kentucky does its business with defense. So, I mean, this is going to be substantially the best offense that Ole Miss has faced. So I would not be terribly surprised if this kind of gets into the shootout mode. Maybe not quite to the extent of last season, but it wouldn't surprise me if it trends in that direction. I mean, this one, even nationally, like, maybe this is just SEC bias because I live in the South or whatever, but for whatever reason, this game feels to me bigger than Ohio State Oregon. And I think it's because, like, whoever loses Ohio State Oregon, I think they still have a good chance to make the Big Ten championship. They have a great chance to still make the playoff. Those two teams could meet at least once more this season, maybe twice more this season. So, like, yeah, that's a really big game, but this one feels bigger to me because of what's on the line. It's not mathematically a playoff eliminator, but it has the feeling of loser goes home. Loser's not going to the playoff. I mean, they'd have to run the table with two losses from here. So it does feel like a playoff eliminator, and it feels like a game that, I don't know, I kind of consider a coin flip. I know Ole Miss, I think, opened at some books at 3.5-point favorite. I would assume that's down a little bit now. Do you guys know?
I think it's 3.5, 3. I think I got it this morning at 3, but I didn't. I hope you're not right about shootout.
By the way, I
took the under.
I texted my buddy, who's a radio host in Baton Rouge. I go, hey, is Trey Harris playing? He goes, come on, man. They're not saying.
I mean, I've talked to people. The real answer is no one really knows. The sense is he's going to give it a go. No one knows what he's going to look like.
Yeah, and you might be right on that, Jeffrey, but I think if he does go, and we were talking about this earlier, like I wouldn't expect anywhere close to 100%. So I don't know what it's going to look like for him. And
he's not a burner to begin with.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, if he's not healthy, I feel like that changes their offense a lot. Because he's the security blanket for Jackson Dart. He's the guy that he wants to turn to. You know, when all else fails, right? I mean, he kind of reminds me of John Metchie a couple years ago for Alabama. Like, every big play situation, you know, that was a team of Jameson Williams, but you just knew every big play situation where Bama needed to move the sticks, Bryce Young was turning to John Metchie. I mean, he did it all throughout that season. That's kind of like what Trey Harris feels like a little bit to me for this team.
I mean, same thing. It's Bowers or McConkey last year for Carson Beck.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing. I mean, they don't even have... I mean, the Kentucky game, it was like, I think the other receivers combined for like two or three targets. And last week they put Watkins out wide when Trey got hurt, and that is a significant downgrade. I don't know. Like, this is one of those games where you can talk me into about two or three game scripts. Because I do agree with you. I give Lane credit. He was honest on Monday when he was asked, you know, there were some Ole Miss beat writers that... Let's just say there were some Ole Miss fans that have keyboards, and they were trying to really pump up the secondary. And Lane was pretty honest. Like, yeah, they played better, but the quarterback helped. And having watched that game, that was a brutal watch if you had to sit down and watch it, like, every snap. That was just such a boring, like, brutal, just the – I don't know. Did you cover the Tennessee Ole Miss game in, like, 2014 or 15? Like, it was the same thing. It was just such a, like, South Carolina had no chance of moving the ball. Ole Miss did enough, and you were just, like, running out the clock. But there are still guys that are going to be open, and that's going to be the question of, like, can LSU block Ole Miss and right. long enough? And LSU's certainly going to be the best offensive line this Ole Miss defensive line's seen.
This one just has so much on the line. I mean, I mentioned the playoff narrative, but, like, you look at the Brian Kelly, Lane Kiffin narrative, like, you know, if Brian Kelly doesn't make the playoff this year, I know it's only year three. He's not facing any real heat in terms of job status, but he's going to start facing some serious heat from his fan base if he loses this game, loses to Lane in back-to-back years and is on the brink of elimination from the playoff here at season's midpoint. And then, you know, the reverse of that is this was supposed to be the best team money can buy at Ole Miss. If they suffer a second loss and they're on the ropes for the playoff, I think then you start to wonder, like, has Lane hit the ceiling there? Can they not buy him a playoff team? Does he start to get the wandering eye if and when Florida opens? If Scott Strickland is willing to kick the tires on Lane this time, which he wasn't last time, and I do think, by the way, that Scott Strickland will be involved in that search at this point. There are just so many narratives for this one, and that's why I say, like, I don't know, I'm more interested in this game a little bit than Ohio State Oregon, although that one, you know, I mean, there's really no wrong answer there.
What's going on with Georgia? I mean, I know there's been columns written. Colby Young no longer with the team after another off-field incident for Georgia. Like, I bet Georgia to win the title. We talked about it last week after they lost to Alabama. But, man, this thing, I don't want to say unraveling because they still have plenty of talent, but this is not ideal, needless to say, in Athens.
No, I mean, when you're starting to lose bodies from the roster, that's when it becomes an issue. Like, I've been pretty consistent on this whole high-speed driving thing and some of the national media voices trying to indicate that that's why Georgia didn't win the national championship this year and that's why they lost to Alabama. Like, I don't buy that for a second. On the one hand, it is really dangerous, all these driving incidents at Georgia. On the other hand, I don't think that has much to do with 3rd and 6. But this Colby Young situation, that's different. Like, when you're starting to lose guys from your active roster because of, off the field nonsense, like, that impacts the product, right? And so, you know, I think, like, the Urban Meyer comparisons are really extreme to what happened at the end of his tenure at Florida. I mean, the biggest thing that affected Urban of Florida was partially, like, he didn't know whether he wanted to be there anymore. He didn't want to know whether he wanted to coach the Gators anymore. He didn't, his supposed health issues or whatever. That to me was the biggest thing at Florida. Like, they had a lot of those guys, and they were winning a bunch of games before it unraveled at the end. So it is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com